This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Hello, everybody. This is the Tour Coach. You know, these are my conversations and my stories and roundtable discussions from my travels and Jackson Court's travels in the world of golf, whether they're teachers, they're players, coaches, fitness experts, whatever it is. It's the people that we meet, we talk to, trust, learn from, work with. All of it, we sit down and we talk and we share it with you to hopefully help give you some enjoyment, give you some inspiration, and also, more than anything, help your game. Our follows are going through the roof. The views and the comments about our content have been overwhelming. So please check out Dew Sweeper TV over on YouTube. Make sure you listen, subscribe, and none of this could be remotely possible without our sponsors. And that, of course, is Srixon Golf, Bushnell Golf, Vineyard Vines, Mitch McConnell and the folks at McConnell Automotive and Buick GMC. And you obviously can't forget Ed Rowan, Taylor Martino and Rowan, and Stokely's Midtown Garden Center. All of that support makes the Dew Sweepers radio show, the Tour Coach, and Dew Sweepers TV all possible. So stay tuned and enjoy this conversation here on the Tour Coach. All right, so a little car ride podcast here on the way to the Newark Airport with my buddy and great teacher Nick Bova. Had me up to the New Jersey PGA Teaching Summit. Nick, thanks for thanks for having me, and two, thanks for the lift to the airport.
My pleasure, Tony. It's always great having you up here in New Jersey.
We had a good time. Great group. Good group of folks today. But I wanted to talk a little about you. I know in a few weeks you're getting ready to go play in the Club Pro down there in Dallas at that place. Have you been there yet?
Yes. Yeah, I went down in for a little scouting report in March. So played both golf courses. In and out in 2 days and back home.
Look, you by far one of the best players up here. It's been fun. We've done a little tinkering and work on your golf game the last year and a half. You've played some great golf. You were showing me a little video when we snuck outside today, your golf swing, and we did a little sneak work there with the old pivot pack. But let's talk a little bit about your improvements over the last year. And I think you do something I tell folks all the time that I think is one of the hardest things to do. I sucked at it, and that is maintaining a balance between when you get as busy as you are teaching as much as you do and still being competitive as playing. And I've told you this as a friend, like, it'll get harder to do the older you get,
yep.
Right? And the busier you get and the more elite and more elite players you coach. But talk a little bit about that process.
You know, in terms of kind of the first stuff that we started talking about and working on, you know, a lot of it was pivot related. You know, I wasn't loading into my trail side enough and I was too much into the lead side, and that was causing some issues. My upper body was getting too far off the ball and so on. And really what I did was I've always notoriously been a tinkerer, right? I've always, if something felt weird, I'd just try something else. And with this stuff, I've literally worked on the same thing since we started in January of 23. Right, so it's, 15 months now? And I'm still working the same thing, still doing the same drills, the chair drill, the bands, all that stuff. It's all the same, you know? And I think that's part of what allowed me to at least hit the golf ball the way I hit it last year, was because I was consistent in what I was working on, you know? And then from there, you know, I spent a lot more time away from the driving range, right? I did most of my, say, swing work during the winter time, and then once I get into the summer, it was just kind of maintenance and then working short game and putting, to be honest, and then trying to play some, you know. But, you know, being busy on the lesson tee and then trying to go play, you know, it's like, you know, I'm getting my practice in while I'm showing somebody how to work the pivot, right? I'm showing them to help them, but I'm also doing something for myself so that I can feel what it is that I'm trying to actually do. So then, you know, it's kind of nice that you're doing these things because you don't have a golf ball in front of you. Sometimes you have a club in your hand, but you don't have a golf ball in front of you, and you're not worried about where the thing's going. You know, so I could sit there on the range and show somebody, you know, a pivot adjustment that they need to make, and it's going to help them, but it helps me kind of fine tune what it is that I'm working on.
You know, you got a great Instagram following, and you've put some good videos and pics out of your before and after of where your golf swing started 15 months ago. Pretty impressive. And we had some talks just as we were sitting around last night and today, you know, talking about different students, and I was sharing some stories. Comes to mind one girl played good in the SEC championship today, Avery Weed for Mississippi State, but like been working on the same thing for 3 years. And I think that's a valuable lesson. You played a bunch with Emilio when you came down, yep. joined us for golf camp last couple of years. Like, been working on the same thing for a couple of years, right? Like, I think that's a valuable lesson for people. But it's really hard playing and really hard coaching to get people to buy in to do that. But I think when you do that, the payoff, like right away, your first tournament may not be great. Yeah. But the payoff down the road, I think, can be pretty special.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think, you know, spending the time on the lesson tee and then trying to play, for me, it actually brings more people to me because they see that I can do it, right? Mm-hmm. They see that I can ask them to do something, and then I can prove that it's attainable by doing it on my own, you know? And I think that's been a big piece, at least for me, and kind of a motivating factor that allows me to, or kind of drives me to continue to try to play well. Plus, I enjoy playing well, you know? The feeling of winning a golf tournament is pretty awesome, and you know, putting in the work, you know, it's always the process kind of that goes into it that allows you to be successful, and that's kind of what I've fallen in love with.
Well, so you talk about working and playing. I think you've done a nice job. Obviously your season's shorter up here, no question, but you've done a really nice job. I liked how you talked about, you know, kind of how you went through the calendar and doing these talks and stuff. I always talk about my old boss Hank and HJ and stuff, and he used to always talk about with tour players, and it's different now, their calendar's different than it used to be, but that, and then Wayne, you know, would always talk about with good players that the time to do the heavy lifting and make a big change is in the winter, right? When you've got some time, and like you said, you do a bunch of stuff indoors, or you do stuff without the ball, you do stuff with bands. And then when it gets to where you're in season and you're playing tournaments, you're back to just playing golf. And I think one of the things that we see students do, and it's hard when you're a good player to not do it, but is they're trying to work on golf swing and play golf at the same time. And we've talked about tour play. You could see tour players that are out there doing it, most of the time not with very much success. Yeah. But I think there's got to be a real difference between working on your golf swing and playing golf. And I think you got to find, if you're going to really make a change, you've got to find some time to do where you're working on the golf swing.
Yeah, and I think when you're making a change, just working on one thing, I think, is the most important thing, right? So I've never been somebody that can, say, fully turn off the brain when I'm hitting a golf shot. Like, I'm always thinking about something. So having one thought is kind of my threshold, right? If I start thinking about more than one, I got no chance. Right, but so kind of, it allows me to almost like free my mind, knowing that I just got one thing that I need to do. If I can do that, I can hit a solid golf shot, right? And if the execution isn't there, it's not there. That's fine, right? I can accept that. But I can go into my next shot knowing what it is that I need to do to hit a good shot. And I think that's the big thing that people struggle with, is they hit a bad shot on the golf course. Like, they could hit it great on the range, and then they hit a shitty first tee shot, and then they're running through the Rolodex of shit that they've worked on for the last 10 years, right? And then they don't ever stick to what it is that they are working on to allow them to actually get better, whether it's club face or pivot or transition or whatever it is. You know, they're they're always changing and tinkering and messing around instead of sticking with the plan and sticking to it and going from there.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, and I mean, I think once you kind of get a little bit down the road where you stick with something and then you learn to go play golf and, to, you know, your idea when you go play golf, shoot the best score you can shoot that day, right? Like, as you get a little bit down the road, you start to see the benefits of that, right? I want to talk to you about, like, teaching and playing. How hard has it been as you've adapted to becoming busier and busier, your lesson book's full, you're getting a great name up here. Hamilton Farm's such a cool spot. You've been great to have. I've been up, hang out a few times, even if that place is haunted, that one room. But put Morgan in that one, I think. Yeah, but yeah. How, you know, my lack of ability playing now is more from lack of playing. Because you get to a point where you're so busy and the demands on you become so much that you don't play. And then I don't play. Then I suck when I play and I don't want to play. Yep. And we've played, like in January, I play a good bit with the guys and I force myself to do it. I'm back to where I'm really trying to force myself to play. I got a new set of Srixon irons ordered from Rodney, hoping they're coming soon. But I think you got to make, if you're going to teach, you've got to make playing a priority, I think. And I think competing is the one thing. I watch you. You do a really nice job, I think, of scheduling tournaments to where, like, you're actually working towards something while you're still working teaching.
Yeah, you know, so I think the one of the biggest things that helped me, say, last year was kind of reframing my thought process and kind of my mental game. So I started working with this guy, Dr. Mike Gross. He's the head of sports psychology at Princeton. And, you know, just talking to him and doing the exercises that he, you know, has his players do. And it's like, I was able to quote unquote practice without necessarily being on the range or on the golf course because I was working on these mental things. You know, accepting outcomes and accepting situations and doing a lot of meditation and those types of things. And that helped a bunch. And then when I had the time to actually work on it physically, right, I would only spend my time, like I said, chipping, pitching, putting, bunker play, and then actually playing. So, you know, if I had a 45 minute slot open, I'd go roll some putts for 45 minutes, or I'd go chip and pitch for 45 minutes. If I had more time available, then I'd go play, you know, five or six holes, find an open spot, and just do different things, right? Not just cookie cutter play, you know, six holes. It was, you know, I'd go out there and I'd hit a tee shot, and then, you know, whatever club I'm going to hit for my second shot, I'd add one, right? So if I'm going to hit an eight iron for my second shot, I'm going to hit a seven iron. Right, just learning to hit different shots. You know, I'm not big on trying to curve it every different way, right? I just want to see it go one way, right? So getting really good at curving it one way and getting really good at flighting it up and down and getting really good at distance control and the different ways of doing that, I think, is really important.
Yeah, and I think you can take a lot of what you've done and you can take a lot of how you've really played some really good golf over the last year, year and a half. I think you can apply that to how you teach and direct competitive players, like figuring out stuff that works. And the one thing I've found with the best players I've been around, regardless of how they are and all their, you know, other things in life, they're really good at figuring out how to structure what they need to do to be good. The best players in the world are always, I always found, like, you know, Smiley, you could always, when he was playing good, he had a structure about how he went about the week. He always did a lot of yardage work with his wedges, I thought, when he played some of his best. You know, guys that are struggling to me seem to get out of that. They get where they're spending more time on the range. You know, I thought, you know, Lucas was the same way in my, you know, 5 years or so with him. You could always tell when we were in a good rhythm how things went. And I think teaching people to learn what they need to do to play their best is a little bit, I mean, that's part of teaching and coaching. It's not just golf swing, but helping a player understand, like, what is it that they, how they need to structure their practice, their work, their preparation, whether they just play the member guest or club tournaments or whatever. If you want to improve, you still need to have some structure about how you go about your business.
Yeah, you know, so I preach that to every single person that I see, whether they're, you know, a club member or an elite junior. You know, I'll write out what a practice schedule should look like, right? Maybe not say for a week or a month, but you know, this is what you should do in one day, right? And if you have X amount of time, you're going to spend it doing this and this and this, and rarely does any of that have to do with hitting golf balls on the range. You know, a lot of it is, you know, maybe you'll go warm up on the range, right? And then you'll go do a couple putting drills, you'll do a distance control drill, and then you'll do like a star drill or something like that so you can see balls go in the hole, go do some short game shots. And then, you know, my big thing is if you actually have the time to do it, go play a few holes, right? If you're at a facility to where you can get out there and, you know, maybe you can walk two or three holes, or you can hop in a cart and play four or five holes or something like that in the time that you have, I think that's huge, because golf is played on the golf course, right? It's not played anywhere else. So if you can structure your practices around spending time on the golf course, and if you listen to any guy that plays on tour or girl that plays on tour, when you talk to them about what it was like for them growing up and developing, every single one of them says, "I played golf." I've yet to hear a single one of those players say, I spent 6 hours a day on the range, and then, you know, I never really played. I played once a week or whatever it is. You know, they're always playing. They're always, you know, seeing the ball fly. They're seeing the ball trying to get it in the hole and trying to get it in the hole as fast as possible.
You know, I was thinking when you were talking about that, you've heard me talk a bunch, all our stuff, about Bobby Wyatt. Bobby was hanging out down at Old Palm, I don't know, 6 to 8 months ago, maybe a year ago, and one of a good junior that I teach, Alexander Weinberg, I think, was in there, and it was either him or his brother, you want to ask many questions, and obviously Bobby was great amateur player and played on tour a year, he said, yeah, I thought this was interesting. He said, you know, when I was a kid, all I did was play, didn't hit balls very much. And when I would go to work with him at the Country Club of Mobile, way before I was there, we'd do a little range work and we'd go on the golf course. He just played, loved playing. He goes, and then I got to on tour and all I did was hit balls, right? And he's like, if I could do it over again, I think I would play more. And I think that's kind of what you're saying. Like, you know, and I think people fall into victim of thinking that to get better, they've got to do it the other way.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, in my professional career, you know, I've played better golf. I've played my best golf of my life in the last probably 5 years, and it just continues to get better. And a lot of that has to do with me spending less time hitting golf balls and spending more time doing the other things, primarily short game and then playing.
Yeah.
Right? I had, you know, kind of like a 7 or 8 year stretch where I didn't really play very good. And a lot of that was solely because I just, looking back on it, solely because I hit balls. I hit ball after ball after ball after ball after ball after ball and wore the face in. And, you know, I'd get out on the golf course and I wouldn't really have any sense of what it was like, what I needed to do to get the ball in the hole. You know, so I've tried to change that up as I've worked on some of the technique stuff in the wintertime. And now that the weather is warmer and we're getting outside and having some nice days, I'm trying to squeeze in two or three holes here and there anytime I can, just to keep it fresh in my mind.
I found that you find a lot of veteran tour players. Lucas told this to some juniors once out at Old Palm, and I think actually Cordy Walker on Golf Science Lab might have a video of this he put out, but Lucas talked about how as you got married and you had kids and family, you learned to structure your practice and prioritize what you needed to do. You kind of figured out that recipe. And I think that's what, like, we're saying to any golfer of any level, you don't need a lot of time. You need to figure out what your what your structure and your plan is to get better. Obviously, your coach and your teacher will help you with that. But I think, like, regardless of your time, you can figure that out.
Yeah, I think that I know for me personally, when we started to have a family, like, I played some of the best golf of my life when Ava's mom was pregnant, right? Just because I was happy, I was excited, I was, you know, all this good stuff was going on in my
now
life.
Now everybody's
going
to go out there and get their girlfriend or their wife pregnant to play good golf.
You know, but you know, I'm a big...
We're going to start selling Dew Sweeper pregnancy tests.
You know, I'm a big believer that if you can have, you know, a happy, you know, kind of a happy life, you know, the golf can go, the golf goes along with that, right? And then in terms of, like, structuring stuff, it just allows you to realize what's actually important, I think, right? Because, you know, golf is great, and golf is my job and my passion, and I love it more than anything, but I would give up golf in a heartbeat if my daughter needed me to, you know? So it helps you kind of prioritize a little bit differently, and then I think it helps you go even deeper with that prioritization in terms of what is it that you need to work on so that you can actually get better. If you truly want to get better,
right,
it helps you prioritize what's the process that I need to go through to get the golf ball in the hole faster so that I can shoot a lower score.
So let's talk a few minutes here. What's your prep? You got what? You got a couple weeks, right? Two, three weeks?
Yep. Yeah, we got 2 weeks.
Getting ready for the club. I mean, that's a big, big deal. You got a chance to earn your way into the PGA Championship. How do you work or do you change what you do at all over the next few weeks? And how are you feeling going into it? And what's your keys to success for when you're there?
So, for this go around, so this is my 7th time playing in the event, and I've never really had any success there. Honestly, I've actually never made the cut, right? And I think it's because I put so much emphasis on the event. Like, it was this big event. It was the biggest event of the year. I had a chance to play in the PGA Championship, and talking with Dr. Mike about just the way that we think about things, you know, I've done a lot of kind of like meditation and visualization as to, like, what it'll feel like walking up to the first tee on the first day, or what it'll be like getting off the airplane when I get into Texas and, you know, getting my bags and heading to the house, or what it would be like to have a putt on the last hole for a par or a birdie or something like that to make the cut. And then, you know, what it would be like to have a putt or a shot to make it into the PGA. And then finally, like, you know, thinking about holding the trophy right at the end of it, you know, and I think physically for me, I'm where I need to be. You know, I think I'll just use the remaining time before I head down there for reps, you know, hitting some balls here and there on the range, but doing more short game and spending some time on the golf course when I can. And then I'm doing probably most of the prep work by preparing my mind so that when I get there, I feel prepared enough to where I can be confident in what I'm doing.
That's great. I think you got a great plan. You've done some awesome work. Man, I appreciate, one, you having me up here. Two, I appreciate all the hard work you've done on your game. We're pulling for you, and thanks for your friendship, man. It's been fun. We're going to do some fun stuff together, and looking forward to watching you and planning on going to hang out with you at the PGA.
Hell yeah, man.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero. And look, recently, several teachers I know and several players have had some scares with skin cancer. In fact, I recently went and saw a dermatologist here in town, and I had a couple things frozen off, eyelid, my face, my earlobe, and not getting any younger. And I know it's getting to that time of the season where it's cooler, but look, being in the sun is a real deal, and I've not been very good, to be totally honest, my whole career at using it at all because I didn't like how greasy it was, how hard it was to get off your hands, how it clogged up my pores. And then I found this sunscreen, Visor Skincare. It's clear. It goes on. It doesn't dry you out. It isn't greasy. It's like you didn't put anything on it. By far, it's the best sunscreen I've ever used. Without a doubt, is the easiest to use. And we've got a discount code for all of you. All you have to do is go to visorskincare.com, is use our code word dewsweeper. Visorskincare.com, code word dewsweeper. I just want to remind everybody something that I forgot. Recently, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went out. We went to a wedding, and afterwards with some friends, we were like, hey, where's a great place to go? I'll be honest, like, in my travels and day-to-day, sometimes I get caught up and I forget some of the great places right around the corner. But I got to remind you about the Icebox Bar on 755 Monroe Street. I was blown away by just the whole vibe, the atmosphere, and with the Velvet Pig, the food in the back room and the big screen TVs up front. We sat there and watched some playoff games. I was blown away by the atmosphere, the vibe, and just how cool it was to have the Icebox Bar right here near the Dew Sweepers downtown, near where I live. You're looking for a great place to go sit, watch some games, hang out, play some pool. You got to go to the Icebox Bar right there on Monroe Street. There's a good chance you'll see all of us hanging out. But do yourself a favor. Go visit the Icebox. It's one of the best places out there.